one or two days after the invasion, Ian Thomas and I made a statement. We condemned what is happening and said our expressed our unity with the Ukrainian people and their friends and families. But at the same, and also we sent out one to our staff. But we also mentioned that we are care for our Russian residents and our Russian staff. You know, they and sure that they condemn what's happening as well, and that everybody shall be careful and keep their nerves. You know, they are. It's Putin's war and his cronies. It's not the Russians against the Ukrainians, you know, and we have to be careful here because, yeah, protecting both, you know, both interests and both feelings. And then also what you already see is, I think, across the country and in Kingston as well, it's something which the longer this goes on and the more negative it gets, our children, they are not, are not prepared to this, you know, seeing these sort of pictures that close to home. And I think there's a lot of mental health work and reassuring and helping them from teachers, from schools, from social workers, from families, from parents, from everybody, you know. I was growing up in Germany during the Cold War as a teenager, so we basically constantly lived with the background and the backdrop. If one or the other side gets fancy and hits the red button, and will be the both Germany's, West and East Germany, where the main battleground initially will be. So we lived the sort of that background reality, you know, but obviously since the early 90s, the Cold War seems to be gone, and that sort of backdrop is not on young people's mind any longer. For them, they see these shocking pictures for their first time and feel really distressed, and it's, yeah.
First of all, we should really talk about what you just mentioned there, because this, as you said, is Putin's war. Do you have many Ukrainian and Russian people working at the council?
We have not that many at the council, but we also not have that many in the borough, but we have a couple of hundred Ukrainians and a couple of hundred Russian people living in the borough, and we really want to care for them, you know, and try to help them as much as possible. And then on the wider context, I had a chance to catch up with today's news on the wider picture. I think, and I hope, the government will be more flexible, more open, and make it more easier for people from the Ukraine who are fleeing their country to come here and to find refuge in the United Kingdom. So we have more than 2 million people now, according to United Nations, already fleeing Ukraine or have fled Ukraine. Poland and other neighboring countries already feeling the pressure. And the European Union has said today, can all come granting them visa for 3 years also to work. And I think it's really important that we open our country as well for the refugees, making it as easy as possible to come over. And at the moment, as fighting able men are not allowed to leave the Ukraine anyway, it's mostly what the refugees are, women with children, women on their own, or elderly couples or elderly people. And I think it's really important, yeah, to help them. If you look at the horrors from the Second World War and what happened to the Jewish people and the Gypsy and all the other who have been, tried to be extinguished by the Nazis due to their political belief or their religious belief or due to disabilities, they also tried to kill disabled people. So it's just, you know, I think let's not repeat the horrors from earlier on. These people are in need now, let's help them.
Going back to Kingston, I mean, how can people in Kingston actively help? Because it has taken the council 6 years to rehome just 50 Syrian refugee families. So this is an even bigger crisis, because some may say it's bigger because it's in Europe. So what practical help can people in Kingston do?
What they can do at the moment is giving money towards help in the Ukraine. We on our webpage now, we updated our webpage. So if people go to our webpage, there's a dedicated space for the Ukraine where you can learn what you can do, where there are links to the government, where you can donate money to. Also, that's the first port of call. And then if people, pending also how the government plays this now, if people who have a spare room, you know, if they get in touch with the council, also with the Afghan refugees, which were also 62, we want to find a new home for in Kingston. So we had a call for landlords who would be happy to give them a new home. So everybody who, depending how soon the government allows this, can think of having a spare room, they can already register with the council, let us know. And again, at the moment, most important is giving money. Some people already start making physical donations like nappies or food, but that's a bit tricky. You know, at the moment it's hard to bring this to the Ukraine or to Poland, to people where the people need it actually. So if people can donate money instead of physical goods, at the moment that's more important. So obviously that might change if we have more Syrian refugees in the country and in Kingston, but at the moment the most important thing is to give money so that that can't be distributed where it's needed.
There are a few matters that I'd just like to chat through with you that we get contacted about on a regular basis. So first of all, I'd just like to say you haven't been in the role very long. How have the first few months gone since you took over from Caroline?
Yeah, they've gone quite quickly, actually. So it's a lot to do. And we had a lot of important decisions in February and also in March. And we had budget council, so a lot of before Christmas and in January we concentrated on getting the budget right. So there was a lot to do. The time really flew by, and
And so one of the situations is what's going to happen to the Maldon Centre. Obviously, Kingfisher Leisure Centre is being rebuilt. That's going ahead, but there will be a period of time where the borough is left without a swimming pool, and this is a massive issue. And now we're looking at the situation with the roof at the Maldon Centre, the same kind of thing as Kingfisher. Can you categorically state, because the council has said before, that Kingston will not be left without a public swimming pool, is that still the same?
That is still the same. What happened with the new Maldon pool at the moment, I can assure you, we had to close it on the 28th for some work on the tile, on the ceiling tiles, and that's more or less done now, and it will reopen on Thursday the 17th of March. So from then on people can use Maldon pool again, and we have exciting plans for new Maldon, for the whole area, for the leisure center, providing new leisure center, new community spaces, new urgently needed homes on the 17th, also at the same day when Maldon pool reopens again. The Maldon Coombs Neighbourhood Committee will have a consultation item where they see more about our ideas, our plans about the redevelopment of the leisure centre and the whole area. And then on the 24th, we'll come to the Corporate and Resources Committee, where we then make hopefully a firm commitment to building a new leisure center. But you asked earlier on the reassurance. I can really firmly give you the reassurance. The new leisure center will be built at a different location. So we will build that first, and through the whole building process, the existing Maldon leisure center will run the whole time and operate. And only if the new one is up and running in operation, the other one would then be closed and demobilized. So that's really a firm assurance. There are no plans to close the existing one and then build a new one. The plans are to build on a new site the new one first, and as soon as it's done, and open, we would take on the old pool.
It leads me on to my next question, really, because you talked briefly about redevelopment of New Maldon. The people of New Maldon have said they do not want any more tower blocks. They want family homes. It feels, and I know the people of New Maldon feel, is changing the face of what New Maldon was.
Yeah, on housing, I know it's a very emotional topic, and I think important thing about new homes is that we have quality homes up to modern environmental standards, up to standards for disabled people, up to design standards. I think much matters, you know, if you have a nice looking home which is well designed, then it's less frightening or less threatening than anything which is badly designed. The other thing is, in Kingston at the moment, we have 900 people in temporary accommodation, and we have 3,700 people on the council home waiting list who would like to have a council home. So we are in a housing crisis nationally and also in Kingston. And then from government and the mayor of London, we have housing targets. We have to deliver 964 homes a year, so 9,640 in 10 years. And the problem here is if we are, the government not just demands us to build them, but we also get penalized if we are not delivering. So obviously it's a bit of a tricky situation. The council has no authority over the delivering of homes if you're not doing our own, like the small site scheme or Cambridge Road Estate, where we are the developers, but all the other planning applications where we are not the developers, if the planning application has gone through and we allow a planning application, we can't mandate the developers then to build if they leave the site vacant for 2 or 3 years or don't do it. But we will, as a council, get penalized from government if it's a 5-year delivery test. If we are not in the 5 years delivered as many homes, and we can't deliver them. So it's a bit of a conundrum, and I appreciate people who feel passionate about housing, but we are under pressure to build new homes, and we try to build them across the whole borough and not overburden it to New Malden.
And I understand that the council did successfully argue its quota of housing down. As far as I understand it, and I've spoken to Sadiq Khan about this, his plan is based on Crossrail 2 coming to South West London. But the way things are going at the moment, it looks like Crossrail 2 isn't going to get built or even get off the starting block. So is that not a case for the council to go back?
It is, I agree with you on the case. It doesn't look like Crossrail 2 will be happening, if at all, or if then, light years later than everybody thought. We are campaigning already and trying to go back to the mayor on this assumption. Crossrail 2 now looks not realistic any longer to reduce the housing targets for us even further. So we are working on that, fingers crossed.
Would the council not consider creating its own house building partner?
We have to carefully look into this, and what we are really proud to deliver on is, as you know, the Cambridge Road estate regeneration, and part of that, alongside the first phase, is we're building 101 new council rent homes on our small sites. One is happening in the ward I'm representing in Chessington South at Yorkway next to the railway line, where we use brownfield sites to build these new council homes. And then Cambridge Road estate itself will deliver 942 council rent homes, which are a massive contribution to affordable homes in the borough. And
but you have to be on the council list to qualify for one of those. I'm talking about families who aren't on the council list, but they want to stay in Kingston or perhaps come to Kingston to live, and they can't afford the homes.
Yeah, so this all planning application, which are going in by private developers, we try to look to maximize the affordable. You know, we have guidelines by ourselves, by our own local legislation. We have guidelines by the Mayor of London. Developers usually try to go as far down as possible, but sometimes you also are successful to negotiate with them to have a higher percentage of affordable, and that's something which we are aiming to do. And to your original question, we have to look carefully. We are already delivering Cambridge Road Estate. We're delivering other schemes like the new leisure centre and the Kingfisher site, and we want to do the Malden Centre. So it's something we have to look carefully. I can't give on the top of my head an answer if we can do this or not. It's something we have to carefully consider.
One of the other issues that people have been contacting us about is the delivery drivers on mopeds. So they tend to congregate outside. I know it happens a lot in Kingston. It happens an awful lot in McDonald's in New Malden. What can the council do? Does it have any powers to crack down on delivery drivers congregating outside the borough's restaurants?
Yes, so it's tricky. It depends, obviously, who has the authority. If they're on the highway, then they have to adhere to the highway code and highway code regulation coming in, and potentially the enforcement team can do something, or the police can do something. It depends. If it's on private land, then there's not much we can do. If they obviously would obstruct public pavements, again, then that's something where our enforcement officers could have a look. So if there's anything, I think, if any misbehaving is either reported to the council, a resident can report it to the council or to the police with the 111 number, or go to the council, look at the council enforcement. But on the other hand, I think if you look, it has been 2 years in the pandemic, and many people basically couldn't go out, still have to shield, and in a way also in terms of our own businesses, many of our restaurants, which we all cherish, only survive to introducing delivering, which they never have done. So there's also that sort of balance. You know, I just don't want to blame them.
Doubting that, and I think everyone's pleased that, you know, the restaurants, they're more than happy. But in a way, it's putting regular people who would go to a restaurant off, because if you're driving or walking along a pavement and you've got a motorbike doing a U-turn in the road and then coming up on the pavement, which, you know, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. That's dangerous, and that should not happen. They have to adhere to the highways code. And again, if residents see any misbehaving, report it either to 111 or to the council, and then a respective authority, either if it's our responsibility as a council enforcement officers, can look into it. And if it's the highway code, it goes to the police.
Lovely. Have you got anything that you'd like to mention that the council's doing?
Off the top of my head, yes. Yesterday at the Blaze Committee, we agreed to the Climate Action Plan, becoming, as a council ourselves, carbon neutral by 2030, and the aim as a whole borough to be carbon neutral by 2038. And residents might have already seen on a couple of posters, we have a climate conversation. So please, if you go to the website, still engage in a climate conversation. It's something really, really important. We really have to all work together to reduce the impact of the climate change and to reverse things and to get carbon neutral. And so we already engaged with many residents. The Climate Action Plan has been informed by a lot of feedback by residents. And again, the climate conversation is still live. That's something, I think, which, is everybody can relate to. And so please, please get in touch and engage. And again, my call, we started a conversation, Lucy, with Ukraine. Please go to the webpage. We have an extra page up now running, how people can help people in the Ukraine, refugees. So that's something which we will constantly update. So it could be a good port of call for people to engage and help.